Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. Moby is here today on the cafe with music from his new album, Wait For Me. It is a quieter, more introspective album than his last one, which was more of a club record. It was recorded much like his 1999 album, Play, which became the best-selling electronica album ever. Moby will premiere a new song today called One Time We Live. We begin with a live performance of Walk With Me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Live in the World Cafe today, it's music from Moby's new Wait For Me. And good to see you, first of all. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Nice to see you again, too.
The last time we were together, you did a guest DJ stint where you played five songs that sounded great at 4 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot of an abandoned building.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that kind of interesting because I've heard you describe this new album as one that would sound great in an apartment on a rainy day on a Sunday morning.
Well, the reason I'm familiar with listening to music in the parking lot of an abandoned building is I spent about 3 years living in an abandoned factory in a crack neighborhood. And I was DJing at the time, so I'd oftentimes get home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And every now and then, the perfect song would come on as you're pulling into this huge abandoned factory complex. And I remember one of the songs I played was The Flamingos, I Only Have Eyes For You. And so if you ever find yourself in the parking lot of an abandoned factory in a crack neighborhood at 5 o'clock in the morning, make sure you have a copy of The Flamingos' Greatest Hits because it sounds perfect there.
Some of the adjectives you've used for this album are things like emotional, beautiful, moody, and personal. I'm interested how personal fits with those others. What does?
Well, I guess personal in the sense that I recorded the album by myself in my bedroom, and drew the artwork in my kitchen counter, and just lyrically and thematically, the songs are a lot more, well, at least from my perspective, a lot more personal. Especially because the album I made before this was just a fun sort of celebratory dance record. I made an album about a year ago called Last Night, which is supposed to some extent, chronicle a night out in New York. And this album is more like the Hangover album.
Now, you've just got back. If you've been following Moby on Twitter, a little idiot, you give wonderful descriptions of your journeys throughout Europe. Has it held up that the audiences in Europe are larger than here in the States?
Yeah. I mean, the tour that we did in Europe this summer, on average, we were playing to about 40,000 people a night. And the tour in the States, on average, it's about 1,000 people a night.
Wow.
So it's... But it's nice. I mean, I have nothing to complain about. I'm 44 years old, and I get to make my living as a musician. So, you know, playing to 1,000 people a night, for me, is better than working at Burger King.
Well, it's interesting to put these songs in front of that many people, because a lot of these are kind of down-tempo. And
Yeah, there's something... I mean, the tour that we did in Europe, especially the bigger shows, are more like a greatest hits show. But being able to sneak in some very understated, very quiet song in front of 40,000 people, it takes a huge space and makes it very small and very intimate. Because what I found is like the temptation on stage is to do something bombastic and defensive and, you know, make people see you in your best light. But if you can stand on stage and do something vulnerable and present yourself in a very honest, very vulnerable context, for the most part, people really respond well.
I would think that would draw people in, too, in a way.
Ideally, if they're not too drunk and throwing garbage at you.
Right, indeed. Can you talk a little bit about David Lynch's effect on this album? He was involved in one of the video so far. But I understand it goes beyond that. It kind of started you thinking a bit about what you were doing with your career?
Well, I mean, David Lynch is just one of my heroes. And pretty much everything he's done, from his artwork to his movies to Twin Peaks, I've just loved. And... A couple of years ago, I heard him speak at BAFTA, the British Academy of Film and Television in the UK, and he was talking about the creative process and the criteria by which art and music should be judged. And even though David Lynch's movies are very Byzantine and very complicated, his manner of speaking is very, very direct and almost unsettling because it's just so straightforward. And he talked about the creative process, and he basically said that creativity is beautiful and should not be judged by market criteria. And that just reminded me of the world that I come from. You know, because I grew up in the world of underground punk rock and underground electronic music. And when I was growing up, I never had anything but utter disdain for the world of top 40 music and commercial music. But then somehow, a few years ago, I found myself almost inadvertently being thrust into that world, that milieu of top 40 music. And I didn't like it, but I sort of felt like, because the people at my major label were pushing me in that direction, that I wanted to make them happy, so I sort of went along with it. And what David Lynch reminded me of is that it's not my job to accommodate a record company. It's not my job to accommodate the marketplace. It's purely my job to try and make art that I love and that hopefully has integrity.
Well, it's interesting that the reason why you were thrust into that was because of one of your most iconoclastic albums, Play, which was... No one could look at that album and say, oh, this man's shooting for the top of the charts.
Yeah, Play was the most accidentally successful record in the history of music. I mean, at the time Play was released, the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears were at the top of the charts, and along comes this record made by a middle-aged bald guy in his bedroom. And there were no real hit singles off of it, and it wasn't recorded or mixed very well, and somehow it ended up being, you know, this strange big selling record.
The only thing I would disagree is I think it was mixed and recorded pretty well. But well, there you go.
If you listen to it on its own, it sounds pretty good, but if you play it next to like an actually like well produced, well mixed record, you can definitely tell that, you know, some guy mixed it in his bedroom.
Moby is our guest today, and let's take advantage of having this great band and hear some more music.
Well,
what's next?
If you don't mind, this is actually an unreleased song, and I was hoping to do a sort of focus group. where we're trying to figure out if we should in fact release this song. And it's a song called One Time We Lived, and it's definitely the product of someone, aka me, who grew up listening to way too much Joy Division and New Order. So we'll play it, and if it's a good song, please clap, and if not, feel free to go to the bathroom or get up and do something else. Thank you.
died. Well, all my family died. Well, all my family died. Well, all my family died. Churchyard, leave me on my own. The sun will come and take me back to my old home. Put me by the window, let me see outside. I look at all the places where all my family died. Where all my family died. Where all my family died.
Hey, Kelly, don't go anywhere. So just as a little aside, originally that song, I wrote it as a very sort of simple, austere blues song. And it didn't have any orchestration. It was just two voices. What's the first line again? Put me on the train?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Put me on the train. Send me back my home. I couldn't live without you when I tried to roam. Put me by the window, let me see outside. I look at all the places where all my family died. 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 Well, lead me to the churchyard, leave me on my own. The sun will come and take me back to my old home. Put me by the window, let me see outside. I look at all the places where all my family died. Where all my family died. Where all my family died. Where all my family died.
Wow, thank you.
Moby is our guest today on the cafe. So that had to be a real conscious thing to go and get that orchestration on it because it's so incredibly lush. And
well, it's strange because a lot of... I've had a reputation for a long time for being a sort of DJ slash electronic musician. And I love DJing and electronic music, but my background was playing classical music and playing in punk rock bands. So almost every song that I've written has started out with either guitar or piano. And then I just go into my studio and just start adding stuff to it. It's like in the case of that last song, it was just those two simple little chords with a vocal line loosely borrowed from an old blues song, as every vocal line from an old blues song is also loosely borrowed from another old blues song.
Well, you've got some incredible singers here with you today, but I got to say, when I played this record without looking at the credits, I thought you it was you, but I thought it was like David Bowie doing the vocals. I was very impressed.
That's about the nicest compliment anyone's ever made, because I've never thought of myself as a singer. Like, one of the reasons I learned to play different instruments was because I didn't think I had a particularly nice singing voice. And in fact, when I was 10 years old, I tried out for the school choir, and 60 people tried out, and 2 people were rejected, and I was one of those 2 people. Which was nice, because I got to spend choir time in the library reading books, but still, it shattered any dreams I had of being a singer.
On this album, we mentioned that David Lynch did a little film for one of the pieces on here, which is kind of the reverse of what's happened for you. You've done a bunch of scoring yourself. And I was curious as to what film composers you really admire.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of film music, and I don't want to offend anyone, but there's a lot of film music that's very generic. You know, you go to see big-budget Hollywood movies, and there's the sad orchestral score, you know, like, someone's died or a puppy's gone away, and so they have the sad orchestral score. Then they have the happy orchestral score and the scary orchestral score. I don't really understand why they keep writing new orchestral score when it all does sort of sound the same. You'd think that, like, the big studios would get together and just have a CD that they would trade among themselves. Like, oh, we're making a movie that has some scary and sad scenes. Okay, so you want track 3 and track 7. But as far as composers, I mean, of course, Angelo Badalamenti, who's worked with David Lynch. And I think David Lynch has actually written quite a lot of amazing music on his own. And who else? Boy, I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Well, now, you've made, obviously, when Play came out, everybody talked about how many times I was licensed for various things. But you've also made your music available. I think it's on your website. Is it still up? Tracks that independent filmmakers can use?
Yeah, well, you started a website called MobyGratis.com. And there are about 100 pieces of music up there. And they're for free for any independent filmmaker or film student. So, because a lot of my friends who are indie filmmakers complain about how arduous it is trying to license music for films. So we just figured we'd give it away for free.
So do you have scary scene?
Oh, yeah, there's some scary music in there. There's some happy music, some ambiguous music where you don't quite know where the scene is going. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Moby is our guest today, and what would you like to finish up with?
Well, we're going to finish up with a song that I wrote about 10 years ago called Natural Blues, and hopefully it'll be okay. And my friend Yang's going to sing.
God, don't nobody know my troubles but God. Went down the hill of the day, so God happy and say all day. Went down the hill of the day, so God happy and say all day. Oh Lord, if my troubles so hard. So hard.
trouble so hard? Oh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Don't nobody know my troubles but God. Don't nobody.
A live performance of a song you may know from Moby's Play album, Natural Blues. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia and XBN.org. To hear more of our World Cafe sessions, you can go to our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.